You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to the My Senior Horse Podcast. This is for people who own, manage, and love senior horses, ponies, donkeys, and mules can come to share our passion and to learn more about caring for our senior equids. In this episode, we're going to talk about tooth removal in senior horses with Dr. Jack Easley. I'm your host, Kim Brown, an editor for My Senior Horse. We launched the global My Senior Horse brand in partnership with Linda Mars and Mars Horse Care in mid-2024. We offer many ways to get information on older equids, including this bi-weekly podcast, articles on the MySeniorHorse.com website, videos, and so much more. Our guest for this podcast episode is Dr. Jack Easley, a veterinarian and boarded equine dentistry specialist. Dr. Easley strived for more than 20 years to create a specialty board for equine dentistry. Then in 2013, Easley and 18 colleagues from around the world passed the first boards given to the 24 veterinarians. He received diplomate status in the spring of 2014. That is when the American Veterinary Dental College equine specialty was formed and was recognized by the American College of Veterinary Dentistry and American Veterinary Medical Association. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Easley.
It's my pleasure. I'm glad to be here and always excited to talk about dentistry and horses.
Well, for our audience, we spoke with Dr. Easley in a podcast earlier this year about senior horse dental issues. He also helped us better understand EOTRH, a common dental disease in senior horses, in an article on the website. I'll add links to both of these in the article that goes with this podcast on MySeniorHorse.com. Senior dental issues and EOTRH both mentioned removal of teeth in senior horses. In this podcast, we wanted to delve deeper into what tooth removal means for the horses and for their owners. So, Dr. Easley, how often do senior horses have to have teeth removed?
Well, it's not often, but it seems to be more often as they get older. So if we're dealing with a group of older horses that are in their late teens, it's rare that you'd have to take a tooth out. But in horses that get into their 20s and even 30s, they all wear their teeth out over time. And as they do that, they have more problems with different types of dental disease, which a lot of those lead to having their teeth removed.
So what are some of the most common issues that require tooth removal in the senior horse?
Well, it depends upon the tooth. When we deal with, you know, horses have incisor teeth, canines, premolars, and molars. And as we work our way back in the horse's mouth, the more common problems that we deal with incisors are fractured or damaged teeth. And then EOTRH, as you had mentioned, are resorptive disease with hypercementosis. And they can lead, all of these problems can lead to severe gum disease and even disease in the bones of the maxilla or the front of the mouth. And so those teeth, that's the most common thing we see with them. With canine teeth that we see in male horses, we commonly see fractured teeth with those, but we can also see some resorptive lesions in those teeth as horses get older. And then in the premolar teeth, the most common things that we see are periodontal disease or endodontic disease, which can lead to teeth loosening or severe gum disease. And then as we get further back in the mouth, we see more cases of infundibular disease or endodontic disease. And then also with sinus problems secondary to dental disease. So the types of dental disease that we see are usually progressive. They get worse as time goes by and the horse gets older. And the thing that you need to keep in mind with horses is that they're constantly erupting these, what we call hypsodont teeth. And so the teeth get shorter and shorter as the horse gets older. And all horses will eventually lose their teeth or wear their teeth completely out if they live long enough. So as we get into older and older horses, we see more and more dental problems.
Well, can you please walk us through the procedure of removing a tooth or teeth from a senior horse?
Well, the procedure, it's usually done in a standing position with the horse under sedation with a local or regional nerve block. And so the horse is calm and relaxed and numb in that area of its face and head that we're going to work on. So there's really no stress or pain involved in having their teeth taken out. Occasionally, we'll have a horse that we'll need to put under anesthesia to remove teeth, but that's rare, and it's just under certain circumstances that we would do that. But it is important that when we put a horse through any procedure that we evaluate the whole health status of the horse and get an idea, you know, does it have good functional kidneys? Are its lungs and heart good? Does it have any lameness issues that are going to complicate it standing relaxed for maybe an hour or more for a tooth removal? So kind of how we go about taking the tooth out depends upon the status of the horse, but it also depends on which tooth we're dealing with. And so typically with incisor teeth, those are removed usually through a surgical extraction procedure where we do a gum flap, elevate the gums off of the incisor teeth, and then remove a little bit of bone on the front edge of the tooth or labial surface of the tooth to be able to extract the teeth, because these teeth are curved teeth. And quite often, if they do have EOTRH, they have bulbous roots on those teeth. So sometimes you just can't pull them out of the socket. You've got to take some bone off the socket to release the tooth, and then you can loosen it and extract it. We want to make sure that we don't leave any tooth particles in the horse's head. So when we do an extraction, we usually take radiographs prior so that we kind of know what we're getting into, and then radiographs after the teeth are removed to make sure that there's no tooth or bone fragments left in the sockets.
Mars Equestrian, a sponsorship division of Mars Incorporated, is dedicated to highlighting the Mars brands, such as Buckeye Nutrition, Spillers, Antec Diagnostics, Sound Imaging, Royal Canin, Pedigree, Nutro, and many more in the equestrian world. Whether it's through nutrition, veterinary care, or education, our purpose is to create a better world for horses, pets, and the people who love them.
Canine teeth present a peculiar problem because they are actually very curved teeth, and they're sort of hooked into the jaw. And so bone always has to be removed over those teeth to be able to get the whole tooth out. And sometimes with horses with chronic canine tooth disease or EOTRH that has progressed to the point where the teeth are actually ankylosed into the jaw, some of those teeth will just amputate the crown on them and actually leave the stabilized root fragment in place that doesn't have any periodontium around it and sort of getting welded into the bone. And some of those we can get by without removing the whole teeth on. When we deal with cheek teeth, the premolar teeth are in the more forward part of the mouth and easier to access. And the more common disease that we see with those is periodontal disease. And that's caused from gaps that form between the teeth, and then they eventually get food trapped there that leads to resorption of the gum and the bone. And so sometimes those teeth are fairly loose and displaced. And in older horses, some of those teeth are fairly easy to remove, but it all depends on the shape of the tooth and the position of the tooth. So we get surprised every once in a while on even a loose premolar tooth that we can move digitally, but it's very difficult to get out. Okay. But typically those teeth can be removed with a simple elevation and some spreading between the teeth and then extraction with a forceps and elevator. When we get further back in the mouth into the last three teeth, the molars, those teeth tend to have more problems with infundibular disease and so, or endodontic disease. And quite often the interior of those teeth is quite rotten and decayed. And so that can cause problems with tooth fracture and problems with having enough crown to get a good grasp on to remove. So sometimes with those teeth, we'll do either tooth sectioning, where we kind of divide the tooth with a right angle burr into several pieces and then pull it out, or a coronectomy, where we remove a portion of the crown to where we can more easily move the tooth and manipulate it in the mouth, make it easier to get out. So some of those are more complicated extractions, and especially if there's also a sinus involved, because sometimes we end up not just having to remove the tooth, but also treat the secondary sinusitis, because the roots of those caudal three teeth are actually in the upper arcade, are in the maxillary sinuses. And so quite often, if you have deep periodontal pockets or an apical abscess or endodontic disease on those teeth, they'll have a secondary sinusitis that has to be taken care of. So it's a little bit different depending upon the type of tooth we need to remove. We usually plan, when we're doing an extraction, for the best case scenario. You know, we've gotten the x-rays done, we've examined the horse, we have a pretty good idea of what we're going to need to do to get this tooth out, but we get surprised at times. And in the middle of the procedure, sometimes the crown breaks on the tooth, or as we're manipulating the tooth, a root breaks off, or we get a divergent root that won't allow us to get the tooth completely extracted. So at times we have to change our plan and go to plan B or plan C to get the tooth out. But that's something that we always anticipate, but hopefully we never have to do. So we're always trying to get it out with as simple a method as we can through an oral extraction, but it's not always the case.
So, Dr. Easley, what about after the surgery? What kind of aftercare would an owner expect?
Well, typically on older horses, because they have a fairly shallow dental socket, there's very little aftercare that needs to be done. Usually we'll end up cleaning the socket out, examining it, getting some x-rays, and making sure that everything's cleaned out, and then pack it with some temporary packing material that usually just either resorbs or comes out on its own. So there's very little aftercare. But occasionally we get a horse that with a secondary sinusitis, or we have to do a more advanced extraction technique, that we'll need to have be on antibiotics for a period of time, or we'll need to have several packing changes done in the socket. We pack these sockets to prevent food material from getting in them before they start to develop some granulation tissue. And so sometimes those packing materials will need to be changed for a week or two after surgery to get things healed up. But on the EOTRH surgeries, it's amazing. These horses quite often have all of their incisor teeth taken out. And people are always concerned that, you know, is the horse going to be able to eat and what's the aftercare going to be? But these horses, they do extremely well. They can eat with their lips and tongue and graze grass and pick hay and eat their grain. And so sometimes we'll just have the owner rinse the mouth out periodically, but typically those horses heal up without very much aftercare at all.
And you mentioned feeding. I mean, I'm assuming just like when we have a bad tooth and we get it out, we feel better. So what about eating? Do we need to soak feed, or is that something that the veterinarian will talk to the owner about?
Yeah, each one of the cases is a little bit different depending upon what's involved. But typically, most of these horses we do put on a soft diet of either grass, of course, is the best thing. But if they can't do that, then we'll put them on usually wet hay pellets or senior feed and hay pellets that's wetted. And then, but there's typically, that's really the only adjustment that we make. Now, these horses, you have to remember that they're missing a tooth or two, so they're not going to be able to chew as well and masticate forage, especially as well as they could before the tooth was removed. So some of those horses will need to be put on special diets to keep their energy levels up. And so we'll quite often put those horses on senior feed or senior feed and hay pellets. that are wetted. It's important that you, if you're feeding a very dry diet, which is like hay pellets, that you soak it or wet it prior to feeding it to prevent the horse from choking. Because horses that eat dry feed without being able to masticate it and properly put enough salive in it to moisten it, sometimes they'll get a dry pellet of forage stuck in their esophagus and choke on it. So it's important that if you're feeding a lot of hay pellets or dry feed, that you wet it for the horse, especially these older horses.
Yeah. And some other things that might occur in the horse's mouth that maybe aren't tooth related, what would you have to address in order to make sure that, is it a tooth? Is it a cyst? Is it a cancer? I mean, how do you go about looking at that?
Well, we're always looking out for that sort of thing. So as we do oral exams, especially on older horses, anytime we see soft tissue abnormalities inside their mouth, or occasionally multiple loose teeth or a tooth that seems to have loosened but doesn't really have any other associated disease around it, you always have to be thinking about some sort of tumor or cyst. Squamous cell carcinoma is probably the most common oral tumor that we see in the horse. We'll occasionally see melanomas that metastasize to the inside of the oral cavity. And then there's a whole list of other, both soft tissue as well as dental and bone tumors that affect horses. And of course, as horses get older, just like people, the incidence of these types of cancers are more common.
Okay. And a lot of times when you're looking at these teeth, you'll use x-ray or CT. I mean, what is, besides the manual exam?
Well, we always do a complete oral exam, and that requires that the horse is mildly sedated, that we've got the mouth rinsed out, a speculum's on, and then we've got a mirror or an endoscope to completely evaluate all of the surfaces of each tooth. And once that's done, that if we find abnormalities, typically we'll do radiographs. And with radiographs, you can pick up most of the dental problems and make a proper diagnosis. But occasionally, we will have to go to some other imaging technique. And the most common one of those is a CT. And with CT, you get a three-dimensional image of the horse's skull. So you can see all the different areas of the tooth. You can see the pulp chambers inside the tooth, as well as all of the roots and then the bones and soft tissue around the tooth. So it gives you a lot better picture than just a two-dimensional radiograph. And it adds a lot of information to help us make a diagnosis, as well as plan the surgery. So if we get a difficult or unusual case or a tooth that really looks, you know, a double tooth or some sort of abnormally shaped tooth, or the bones don't look right, and we suspect maybe there's a tumor or some other abnormality there, we'll recommend that they get a CT done. We also occasionally use other imaging techniques. Ultrasound's helpful for looking at soft tissue injuries and even fractures of the jaw. We'll use MRI if we're looking at soft tissues usually. But the most common thing are radiographs and then a CT.
And then in the follow-up care, how soon after a tooth removal will the veterinary dentist want to see the horse? And then what will be the aftercare for the rest of that horse's life?
Yeah. Well, it's important that we discuss with the owner and the trainer what needs to be done, how long they're going to be out of work and that sort of thing. And we try to make our best guess at that. Typically, we give the horse a couple of weeks off after a tooth extraction before we put them in any kind of heavy work. But occasionally with a simple extraction, the horses are not out but just a day or two. They typically will not change their environment much at all. Prior to surgery, you usually have the horse on its regular diet up until very close to the time that we do surgery. We may limit the amount of grain that they receive the morning of surgery, but allow them to have hay and water. And then after surgery, they typically go right back on feed within several hours after the procedure.
And what would you say to an owner who's like, oh my gosh, this is an older horse. I'm really more afraid to take the tooth out than I am to leave it in.
Yeah. Well, I think that we always have to counsel the owners on what's going on. These older horses have an extremely high emotional connection with their owner. And quite often we find that people are reluctant sometimes to have a procedure done on an old horse because they think that because they're old, it's going to be more stressful or they're not going to be able to handle the procedure. But these older horses typically do really well with handling a standing sedation for a tooth extraction. But we do have to talk them through that. And a lot of times we'll make the diagnosis, show the owner the x-rays or the pictures of the tooth. And then occasionally it's an emotional talk because these people, you know, they've got these old horses around because they love them and they want to take care of them, but they can become extremely emotionally attached to them. And so we usually let that soak in for a while and have them think about it and observe the horse. And the reason for taking the tooth out of an old horse is to make them more comfortable. And so, or to decrease disease, of course, if you got a sinus infection or a bone infection, then that's the reason. But typically, it's a problem with discomfort, and that either causes them to act abnormally, you know, to have, when we talk about pain face in the horse, a lot of these older horses are uncomfortable because they've got bad teeth. And so we kind of explain to them what to be looking for discomfort, and counsel them on that. And then they have to make the decision about whether they want to have the tooth removed or not. And it's always an emotional decision, and it's a hard decision for them. But I can tell you that removing bad teeth on old horses is one of the most rewarding things that I do. And I've had more owners come up to me and give me a hug 2 weeks after we've taken the tooth out when we come for a recheck and say, you've given me my horse back, because these horses feel so much better after these bad teeth are taken out than they did with them in their mouth. And so it's seldom that I've ever had an owner think that they made a wrong decision by having a bad tooth taken out. So I think it's one of those things that it is a hard decision for an owner, an emotional decision. But I think in the best interest of the horse, most of the time, that's the right decision to make, is to get the bad tooth removed.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Dr. Easley, to talk about this important process that us with older equids are going to have to face.
Well, Kim, it's been good to be here, and I hope that I've imparted some useful information during this period.
Well, I've learned something, which I usually do when I'm talking to you, and I'll be checking my older horse's teeth a little more closely now. So thank you very much. And to our listeners, we encourage you to sign up for our weekly newsletter so you're the first one to get information from My Senior Horse. And if you have any comments or suggestions about senior horses, ponies, donkeys, or mules that you would like to have discussed in this podcast or delved into for content on myseniorhorse.com, send an email to me at kbrown, that's the letter K, Brown, at equinenetwork.com. Thanks for joining us today. Take care of yourselves and your senior equids.